Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits and the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I'm so excited to be with you today. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical calendar. It is Christ the King Sunday, when we reflect on a passage of Scripture that shows Christ on the cross. It is about his reign and his anointing as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a beautiful reminder before we head into the holiday season of why we celebrate in the first place. And so I hope that this message resounds with you as it does with me. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's epistle lesson is from Colossians, the letter from Paul to the people of Colossus, the first chapter, verses 11 through 20. It is a reminder of the things for the people of Colossus that had just happened, and is a reminder for us today of those ancient things that we still celebrate. Hear now the word of the Lord. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or power, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we say the Apostles' Creed today, let's remember and think about those parts of the creed that remind us of Jesus on the cross and his redemption and salvation. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today so thankful and so humbled, rejoicing in the moment of salvation that we found and find on the cross. That moment that changed the world forever. Change how our hearts are saved. Change how your love was shown. We are thankful for that moment. And for all the moments that have come after, that we can reflect back on and learn from and grow from, that show your love to us. Let us now show that love to the rest of the world. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son, our Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the end of the gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 33 through 43. Hear now the word of the Lord. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Forgive, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, this message is so important. Help us keep focused on the things that are of God in this time when the world tells us to focus on things that are not. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Gloria Bass was the most feared teacher at First Presbyterian Day School. She taught high school math, and it was a badge of honor to get out of high school without taking one of her classes. I was not that lucky. She was one tough teacher. She expected a lot from her students. And since Katie math is real and seldom accurate, it was not a class that I was thrilled to be in. It's been a long time since I was a senior in high school, but 30 years later, I still remember dreading sitting in those rows of desks. There may not be much math that I remember from my time sweating it out in her class, but one very profound idea has stayed with me all of these years. She asked one day if we knew why time seemed to go by faster as we got older. Apparently, it all has to do with fractions. When we are young, one year is a large part of our lives. For example, at 3 years old, 1 year is one-third of our lives. As we age, 1 year becomes a smaller and smaller fraction of the time we have been alive. For example, say you're 48 years old, just for fun. 1 year is 1/48th of your life. A much smaller portion of memories and time means things move faster. Is that why it seems like we blinked and the holidays showed up again? Is that why I keep thinking, how can my nephew and nieces all be double-digit ages? Just how did I get so many wrinkles on my face? How is it already time to put up the Christmas tree again? It seems, especially during the holidays, that we are just on a never-ending treadmill. Life goes by so fast that you blink and you will miss it. As I've gotten older, not only do the holidays seem like they come around more quickly, but I've started doing them a little differently. And I think the liturgical calendar has helped me do that. The calendar each year starts with Advent and ends with Christ the King Sunday. For me, preaching through the cycle is a good reminder of what is really important. While the world tells us that a Ralph Lauren Christmas is the thing we should strive for, and who are we kidding? I love a plaid ribbon. The liturgical calendar reminds us of the things we should actually be focused on. that the end is really just the beginning. Before we head into Advent, before we light candles and a wreath or put up a tree, we take a Sunday to celebrate Christ as our Savior on a cross. One last reminder of what our faith tells us to celebrate before we have to fight what the world tells us is important. It is the end of one year and the beginning of another. It is a moment to remember what is coming before we look at how it started. It is a moment to remember what we're thankful for and what Advent and Christmas show us at the start. It is the very thing that Paul reminds the Colossians of in his letter. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. That word, prototokos, or the Greek for firstborn, is used twice in this passage. In that ancient culture, being the firstborn meant that you were the head of the family. In the instance of Christ, being firstborn means he's the head of the family of God. He has a place at God's right hand, and as the firstborn, and he inherits all things. While the story of his birth is important, while the miracle of how he was born and the promises and life that it began make him the deity and the man he would become, every year we take time to stop and remember the moment that set us all free. His journey to the cross is important. The world tells us that Advent and Christmas are more about gifts and setting up the perfect table and having forced fun with family. But the scriptures and the rhythm of the liturgical year and our faith remind us why any of it matters at all. Four times in the gospel lesson and once written in a sign, Jesus is told to save himself if he was the Messiah. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us, the thief says. The irony of that question from the thief was that even though he was asking the right question, the answer was not the one he was expecting. Jesus was and is the Messiah. Jesus did save himself, and he saved all of us. It may not be the way that those asking those questions wanted the answer to be, but it was still the answer. Jesus, the tiny baby, the son of Mary and the son of God, could have come down off that cross, but he chose to stay there. He chose to make the end of his time on earth the beginning of something more beautiful than any of them or any of us can imagine. While everyone around him had an opinion about who he is or how he should be saved, Jesus only says two things. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. While everyone around him was making fun of his life and legacy, while they were casting lots for his clothes, while they were ridiculing and questioning who he was, Jesus was forgiving them all and making a promise of an eternity of total communion with God. In the end, Jesus was still doing what he was sent to do from the very beginning. That is the most beautiful gift anyone could give. That is the only gift we need, not just for Christmas, but for every day. There's a lot to be thankful for in this coming week. Family, friends, the culmination of some things, and new beginnings of others. The chaos of family get-togethers and the peace of sitting by a river. The flame red leaves of a maple tree. The laughter of a good joke and the eye rolls of a bad one. The joy of a blue shirt club meeting before worship. The hugs of our greeters as we come into the sanctuary. The nostalgia of an old family recipe and the excitement of trying something new. All of these things are not just reminders of things that we can be thankful for, but the continuation of life and love throughout the years. A reminder that even when some things end and new things begin, love is always there. Just like the love that we find on the cross. God's love has been there since before the beginning of time and the creation of the earth. God's love will be there until the end of the last breath of humanity. Today, we reflect on the time of Jesus on the cross before we celebrate the way he came into the world and the promise of those moments that those moments brought us. But no matter what, no matter when, God's love has been ever present. Jesus began a new covenant that one day, but it was not limited to a moment in time. God's love, the salvation of the cross, will always be there. The holidays can be stressful. They seem to come around pretty quickly every year. Gloria Bass would say that it was because of fractions and other math. Starting this year, I hope that you will let the end be a new beginning. Start something new. I'm not saying I think you should skip the decorations or mailing out Christmas cards. I'm not saying to leave the stockings in the closet. Heaven forbid I don't put out the wreaths at the cemetery for all my saints. But maybe this year and every year going forward, amidst the consumer-driven Ralph Lauren plaid ribbon dripping tablescape, we find moments to remember why it is something to celebrate at all. Maybe we gift ourselves peace and not stress and chaos. Maybe we take a few minutes every day to step into the quiet and reflect on the sacrifice of the cross, the ever-present love of God, instead of the list of extra things that we feel like we have to do during this time of year. So while we come to the end of the liturgical calendar, while we come to the end of the calendar of 2025, before we give thanks over a turkey or adorn the sanctuary, it's important to take a minute and remember exactly what we are celebrating. We can celebrate a life everlasting because at the end, Jesus began something new. Amen. As we find things that we are thankful for, as we find ways to be thankful this week, let us remember the ultimate thing that brings us hope and joy and love, not just this week, but every moment of every day. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are never alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.